the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel lesson in Matthew 22, Teacher, that is Jesus, we know that you are true, and teach the way of God truthfully. And Jesus says to them, answering their question, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches the truth to us, teaches us the roles of both the church and the state, why God provides the church and the state for us, and what our duty and responsibility is to both the church and the state. What is the church? The church is a place where God showers His gifts upon us in the word and sacrament received, and where we respond in the stewardship of our pledges for the mission work of Ablaze in the month of October, and then in the month of November, we gather our annual church pledges for the work here in our congregation, because we have been placed in the church, rendering to God the things that are God's. But He has also given us the state, Caesar, where we will soon have elections on November 4th, where we've been blessed with the Federal Democratic Republic of the United States of America, for whom people have died so that we might be free, and to whom we render service and taxes as is due. Martin Luther had a nifty little way to remind us of both these two kingdoms that were both established by God. The kingdom of God's right hand, if you will, is the church, where God freely gives us the gospel, the good news of our salvation through faith in Christ by grace, comes to us as the word is preached and in the sacraments, in baptism, in absolution, as we receive the Lord's Supper. God puts you in His kingdom, the church, the kingdom on His right hand, if you will, and uses pastors and teachers and elders and deacons and educators in the church so that you might be in His kingdom and render to God the things that are God's. But the kingdom of the left, which God has also established, is the state and the government, symbolized by Caesar, where we have a constitution and we have a court system, and those who carry out this authority are judges and police and soldiers and governors and presidents and senators. And God has given us these great gifts so that we can give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, and walk in the way of truth that Jesus has taught us. So this day, let us hear what Holy Scripture is teaching us, so that we might again thank God for the freedoms we have in our country and the freedom of the gospel that we have in our church, and never take these gifts for granted. The first thing to establish is that Jesus indeed is the teacher of the way of God in truth. Here's the context. The Pharisees and the Herodians both want to plot and entangle Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious zealots, but the Herodians, who kind of went along with the Romans, neither of these groups would normally ever get along. But they both see Jesus as an enemy. So they plot and they want to trap Jesus, because they think if we can get Him to say something like we shouldn't pay our taxes, then the Romans will come and take care of Him, and start trying to trap Jesus in His words. Jesus' talk, His preaching and teaching, and the words that came out of His mouth, which you read in the Gospels in the New Testament, were both for exhorting us and for comforting us. Sometimes we must be exhorted, sometimes we must be comforted. Jesus is indeed, as they said, the true teacher who came from heaven to earth. Since God came in human flesh in the person of His Son, you know what reality is, and you know truth because of the words of Christ. Indeed, Jesus spoke and affirmed what Isaiah said this morning concerning the truth of God compared to idols of this world. Jesus affirmed the truth that there is only one Lord, the God of Israel, who said, I am the Lord, there is no other God, no one. I am the God who formed light and darkness, who makes well-being and calamity, and who does all things. This is the truth. There is no other God, and Jesus came from the Father to proclaim who that true God is. Jesus does not indeed care about man's opinions. Indeed, the Pharisees and Herodians were right. They said, Jesus, you don't care about man's opinions and appearances, and that's exactly right. Jesus sees through the folly of this world and blinded reasoning which rejects the word of God. Do you think Jesus is impressed with wealth and fame and power and prestige since he made the heavens and the earth with the Father and the Spirit? No. Jesus knows every human heart. He saw you when you were in your mother's womb and the day you were born. You can't hide anything from him. He's not impressed with you. You are his child, and he is your Savior. And he makes you his beloved child as he washes you in his forgiving love and makes you his child in baptism. And then he teaches you that humility and service and love for other people. This is to what you have been called. Jesus has taught us the way of God and truth. You thank the Lord today and say a prayer of thanks that you own a Bible, that you're hearing the Word of God right now, that's being read and sung in the liturgy, that you know the way of God in truth. You are not looking for truth. Truth has found you in the person of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God for that truth that's transformed my life and your life. But now as to this text, what is the specific truth that Jesus teaches us about Caesar, the state, and the things of God? Let's begin with the state first. Jesus, who was aware of their malice and hypocrisy, who were trying to test Jesus, says, show me the coin. And they show him a denarius, which was a coin that you'd receive for one day's labor. And stamped on the coin is the picture of Tiberius Caesar Augustus. Jesus never told them not to pay their taxes and said, whose image is on there? And they say, Caesar. So he says, well then, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Jesus is acknowledging that there are lawfully ordained authorities and governments. In his day, it was Caesar. In our day, we have our own order of the Constitution and the own governing authorities over us. They had coins with a picture of the Caesar. We have dollar bills and quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies as our money and means of exchange. And on it we have pictures of presidents. The legal authorities established by God, whether they be Caesar or an emperor or a governor or a president, the head of the government, are ways that God organizes society in an orderly way so we can live peaceful and quiet lives in all reverence. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, the kingdom of the left. Now the best place in the Bible on this is Romans 13, 1 through 7. And I don't normally read this long of a section of Scripture, but I have to. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about, giving to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Listen closely to this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Thus the vocation of the governing authorities, and it is a good thing for Christian people to be and serve in the civil realm as the governing authorities, as soldiers, as judges. We want Christian people to aspire to these vocations and callings because God has established them for the common good. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But now Jesus talks about the kingdom of the right hand, which is the church. Render to God that which is God's. Here he's speaking about the work of God in the church. God and the things of God are everything. Think about that. It's true we bring our offerings and our tithes, and we should bring them as a thank offering to God, but it's God's gifts that he gave to us in the first place. The Lord is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He doesn't need our money. He wants us. And when he gets us, he gets our money, he gets our time, he gets our abilities, he gets everything that we have, because the things of God are everything. But specifically, the creator of the heavens and the earth gives us the things of God in the church through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who, what he says, is affirmed by St. Paul this morning, describing the things of God. God the Father has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, and has given us the Holy Spirit so that we know the living and true God through his only Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Things that are his are grace and peace as we bring our prayers and the works of faith and the labor of love to him because of his steadfast love, the hope that we have because we've been chosen in the gospel through word and power, through word and joy to know Christ Jesus as our only justification, our only intercessor, and our only hope. These are the things of God. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you know what justification really means? The wrath of God is coming. Judgment Day is coming. And God's righteous anger will pour out his wrath and punishment on all the wickedness and the violence and the unbelief of mankind. When the wrath comes, how are you and I going to stand before God? Are we going to be able to stand there in our own righteousness? No, because we don't have any. Are we going to be able to stand there in our sin? No, a sinner cannot come before the holy God. How are we going to stand? Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus, who was the true God-man and kept the law perfectly that you didn't keep, and then died the death that we deserved, bore the wrath that we deserved. It's a fire that fell upon him on the cross. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The wrath of God had fallen upon him so that it cannot fall upon us. Because the wrath fell upon Christ, and Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Justification means this. God sees the holy sacrifice of his Son and declares us innocent, forgiven, and without blemish. It's amazing that God would do that, but that's what he does. Because the wrath of God fell upon Christ, it will not fall upon us. For Jesus, that last day, will rescue us from the wrath to come because he has clothed you in his own righteousness. You have been baptized. You repent of your sins as you did this morning, and you have faith in Christ, and now God sees you as holy in his sight, and he sees no sin at all, only the holiness of Christ that covers you. That is what justification is, and why we need to hear it over and over again. The Thessalonians marveled, and Paul did, that these people turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And how amazing it is that the same thing has happened to us. God has transformed you and I from worshiping idols to worship the living and true God, and we will joyfully give to God the things that are God and give Him all praise and honor and glory. There was a man who understood this. It was Franz Joseph Haydn, the composer, who was a Christian. He presented at the Vienna Music Hall his famous oratorio called The Creation, which is the book of Genesis put to music. When he was old and weakened by age, the composer was confined to a wheelchair. As the majestic work was being played with the orchestra and choir, the audience was caught up in the tremendous emotion of this piece of music, The Creation. If you've ever heard it, it's magnificent. But when the passage comes from Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," the chorus in the orchestra was bursting forth in so much power that the crowd couldn't restrain itself and its enthusiasm. The vast assembly rose to spontaneous applause. And then Haydn struggled to stand and motioned for the whole audience to be silent. And with his hands pointed to heaven, he said, "No, this is not from me. This comes from heaven." And having given the glory and praise to his Creator, he fell back into his chair exhausted. He knew that the glory of God's creation, especially in his Son Jesus Christ, came from heaven. And all the glory of our life points to Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What blessings we have. Jesus teaches you God's truth about salvation by grace alone, through faith in His death and His resurrection for you. We have the state, which brings us great temporal blessings. We have the church that brings us great spiritual blessings. And it is our joy in the Christian church to, in stewardship of our lives, give of our money and our efforts and our abilities cheerfully for this work. You know, sometimes you consider and count your blessings better if you think of the things that you might not have had. Think of what our lives would be like if we did not have freedom in our country and a government and a constitution like we have, but instead lived under a ruthless dictator and had no rights. Think of what our lives would be like if you were not in a church that preaches the freedom of the gospel, that your salvation has already been earned for you by Christ, and the Holy Scripture is proclaimed truthfully and the sacraments administered. Think if you did not have that, and instead you came here and heard the words of men and even denial of God's word and were misled. When you realize that that's not what you've been given the freedom in this country, and you rejoice that you can vote soon here in the elections, and praise God for the Constitution and those who serve faithfully, and you thank God that you do belong to a church that faithfully preaches the Word of God in truth and purity and administers the sacraments, that you realize what you have and don't take it for granted. And now that you know the truth of God through the person of Christ, all of us can joyfully and cheerfully render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.